Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillment of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
I'm going to be reading from several passages of Scripture tonight. The first is Romans 8:15. Then the next one is Matthew 6:6. Matthew 7:9 and 1 John 3:1. Hallelujah. Mason, have them all on the screen. If you wouldn't mind, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Matthew 6:6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for you know your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." Matthew 7:9 says, "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son shall ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Then 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of men. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Amen. Would you please stretch your hands this way and pray for me tonight? My most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, dear God, for your love and grace and mercy, your power and your spirit. We thank you, dear God, for anointing the service this morning and for anointing the music service tonight, dear God. We thank you for this beautiful congregation tonight, Father, for the time of fellowship we're about to experience together in your word. Father, we ask your anointing to be upon this word tonight as it goes forward. Let it be, dear God, as a fire reaching up to heaven to glorify thy name. Let it reach into the throne of God. Let it bless you, O Lord, as it comes forward. Let this word, dear God, be a means by which this congregation receives and all those under the sound of my voice, dear God, that they receive the word and with strength within their souls and spirits, and let their soul be nourished by this word in the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus. We thank you and pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you remember what it was like when you first fell in love? Hallelujah. I do. When I fell in love with Sister Renee, I fell in love with her the second I saw her. The second I saw her. I was walking in the door of that church. I know I've told y'all this before, but I like telling.
Go for it. Go for it, bro.
I walked in the back door of that church with my best friend, Chris Joyner. We were visitors there. And she was singing in the youth choir. She was sitting right in the center of the youth choir. She was standing up in the youth choir and the choir singing. I don't know what song they were singing. All I can remember is, hallelujah. But I remember the dress she had on. It was a black dress with a magenta stripe from here and a white stripe and a blue or purple stripe. And it was outlined in silver glitter. All the stripes were. And she had a permanent in her hair. She don't wear permanents very often at all. And she was singing, and I'm going to tell you something. When you see that woman sing praises to God when she's feeling it, her face just glows with the glory of God. And I walked in the door watching that, and I was about as far from here to that back door, I could see her. And I touched my buddy Chris. I said, see that girl standing right there in the middle? He said, yeah. I said, I'm going to marry her. He said, what's her name? I said, I don't know. I ain't met her yet. 3 weeks later, we were engaged. And we didn't really date a whole lot. We always hung out at her mom and daddy's house, because I live 40 miles away from that church. And we would go to her mom and daddy's house after church and hang out. And I would drive back and forth to Rocky Mount just about every night. And we would hang out, we would court. They had a car, they had a big old living room in their house. Didn't have a TV in it. The court and parlor. What it was? The court and parlor. And I walked in there, we would sit and we would talk and we would snuggle a little bit, we'd smooch a little bit. Oh, it was just the sweetest thing in the world. Stop. And my, after the first few weeks of us dating, she came and got me because my farm was broken down. I said, I can't go to Rocky Mountain this weekend. She said, yeah, you can. So mom and dad's got a room for you to stay in. I said, well, I can't go. I ain't got a car. She said, well, I'll pick you up. I said, well, you're going to have to bring me back home. I said, I got to be at work at 7 o'clock on Monday morning at the gas station. And she said, I'll bring you back on Sunday night. She didn't want to bring me back. She didn't feel good. And I said, well, I got to do. She said, well, we'll get up in the morning. I said, you ain't going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to take me to Kenley by 7. You ain't going to do it. She said, well, take my car. I said, I don't want to drive your car. Long story short, I ended up driving her car, and I fell asleep at the wheel and tumbled it.
Wow.
Brand new car. She hadn't had it 3 months. And I called her dad from the police picked me up. And I called her daddy from the payphone at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I told him what happened. He said, well, son, are you all right? I said, yeah. He said, well, as long as you're all right, we can get another car. And I thought, well, I like this fellow. Well, it got to the point after that, my mom and dad said, you got to be home by 2 o'clock in the morning. I was 22 years old. I had already lived on my own and moved back home. And she said, well, okay, fine. Well, 11 o'clock, she would start telling me, you got to go, you got to leave. At her house. And we walked out of her back door. They had this patio, enclosed patio with glass, you know, enclosed in glass, and a stone door. And we stared at that stone door and said goodbye. Until about 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't stand to tear away from her. I couldn't stand it. Whenever I would pull away from her, I couldn't do nothing. But think about being back with her the next afternoon. It drove me nuts. It literally, when I left, it literally felt like there was a rough old cinder block sitting inside my chest, sitting on my heart. It hurt until I seen her again. Then when we got married and I was an evangelist, I would travel, I'd be gone for several weeks at a time. Oh, dear Lord, I couldn't stand that. I couldn't stand it. She had a job, she had to stay home, and I had to go out and preach. Well, I couldn't stand being gone from her. I hate it because it still hurt. Even right now, we have been married. Lord, Sister Renee, next month it'll be 36 years. Thank you, honey. That just shoots me in the head what I was going to say.
Say it anyway.
Go ahead and say it.
Even now, even though I work in my office is downstairs and her and the living room is upstairs, and I spend most of the day in my office working, doing something, and she spends most of the day upstairs working, doing something. We ain't hardly ever together, but I can't stand it if she ain't in the house. If she ain't there, it drives me insane. She'll leave and go to visit with the family for 2 or 3 days, and I will be nuts until she gets home. And she sits up there, and I sit down and say, that's just the way it is. Because I love her. Sister Renee, do I love you? How you know it?
Well, you say it 40 times a day.
Only 40? Well.
38.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's just like when we had Sarah. I thought I knew what love was when I met Renee, but when Sarah came along, she was part of both of us. I couldn't stand for her to be away from me. I had to be right. I had to hold her all the time. I had to play with her all the time. The first 6 months of her life, I was working at an art department in Rocky Mount, and they didn't have no work for me to do, and I was getting paid to go into work, clock in, be told to go home, and I'd go home. That was it. And I would drive right by the shop where Sister Renee was working, and I would pick up my baby. And I would take her home, and we would play all day. All day. Hallelujah. And we could not stand for the grandparents to come take her home. I don't understand how other grandparents do this thing. Because when the Precious got here, before she got here, I was thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to live up to this thing. I don't know if I'm, I just ain't feeling as excited about this thing as I thought I ought to. But dear Lord, when she was born, I walked into that hospital, and they had her laying in that room, and we were staring through the window. There's a bunch of folks in there, a bunch of folks we knew standing in there. And I walked up to that window, and I stared at that window, and I couldn't say a word. That baby was laying there just screaming. I couldn't say nothing. You know what happened next? Tears started streaming down my face, and I cried like a 5-year-old girl. Ugly cry. And the folks standing there all over said, what's wrong with it? I don't know how other grandparents do it. If I don't see that baby at least once a day, I can't stand it, and I've got to have the love and tell you. She's got to, to tell you, I love Papa's messing up, all that. I got to hear it every time. When I see her, when she leaves, I got to hear it. And other grandparents, when your children live and your grandchildren live an hour away, or bless God, in another state, how do you survive that? I couldn't do it because I loved that number so much. When she comes over to the house to have a spend over, we have playtime in Papa's office. I got a whole bench full of Legos. I've got her art kit down there. I'm an artist and I'm teaching her how to be an artist. We've got a gigantic thing full of liquid logs. I have got a Hot Wheels racetrack. It's 8 feet long. And she wants to race on that racetrack. Mm-hmm. And we just have, or she will come, just climb up in my lap and we will watch you too. Baby Shark or Coco Melon or something like that. Oh, let me tell you what. I don't understand how people can just ignore their children or grandchildren. I just can't do it. Hallelujah. And you can imagine how much I love that grandbaby, how much I love my children, how much I love my wife, how much I love my church. But can you possibly imagine just exactly how much it is that the God of the universe, wait a minute now, the God of the universe, who is the very epitome of love incarnate, His love is so much higher and so much bigger than any love we could imagine. If our love causes us pain, what kind of agony does God go through with the love that He had? And I'm not talking about a man's love. I'm talking about a God. He is the God. And He is love incarnate.
Yes, He is.
Can you imagine what kind of heartache He goes through? His love is exponentially strong. You know what exponentially means? An exponent means a number times another number. Or 10 to the 10th power is 10 times itself 10 times. That's exponent. 10 times 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 10 times. That's exponentially. God's love is exponentially larger than any love any of us could experience. Jackson, can you experience love? Jackson. Hey. Thank you. Praise God. How is it that the God of the universe, the God who is love defined, the one who his love is exponentially longer and deeper and purer than anyone else, can you imagine how he feels about you? Wait a minute now. I can sit here and say how he feels about me, but let's don't do that. Let's say, can you imagine how he feels about you? Oh my. Let me explain something to you. This is the greatest love letter ever written. The history of the world was written because of God's love. God created the angels, He created all these other things, and because they were created to love Him, it wasn't enough. Then God created man and gave him the free will to choose whether or not to love Him. And when we choose to, it's far greater to Him than the love of the angels. The angels are actually jealous of us. Did you know that? Because God loves us so much more. He created the entire history of the world was created so that God could experience your love to Him. That's how much His heart aches for you. Our entire existence is about one thing, one single concept. God's love for you and for me. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God's love is so mighty and so powerful. The entire existence that we have was made. Time was created. Light was created. The earth was created. The days was created. So that God could experience your love to Him. Can you just imagine what He feels when we forget who He is?
Come on.
When we don't care whether or not we come to His house because we just don't feel like it today. Can you imagine how His heart aches? If your heart aches like that, can you imagine how His heart aches when you just don't feel like rolling out of bed or something. Can you imagine what it's like, what he went through? When we forget his sacrifice of what he went through to give us eternal life with him in heaven, and we just toss it aside like it's yesterday's napkin. Can you imagine what he feels? Thinking that there are those people who know how much it cost him to love us, but they still refuse to come to it anyway. Imagine him laying there on that cross. And they're nailing the nails through his hands and his feet after they've already ripped him to shreds with that cat of nine tails. And he's laying there on that cross without having the nails driven through his hands. And he's able to look ahead in time. And he's going through all that suffering, all that pain, all that agony. He's getting ready to die, and he knows it. And he can look ahead in time and see that there are still people who know that, but who can toss him aside at a drop's a hat. Who know that and still choose not to come to it. People who know that and still let little tiny issues stop us from serving him. We go through big problems. We go through huge, tremendous problems that cause us to turn our backs on God. I know people right now that because God didn't answer their prayer the way they wanted it to. He answered the prayer, met their need, but it wasn't the way they wanted it. They got mad at God and refused to talk to him. How spoiled have we become?
Go on, shake that bush. Burn it down.
When we, God, I want you to do it like this, and I want you to do it like that, and I'm trusting you, God, to do it like that. When it's a matter of life and death, and he saves your life.
Yes.
But it didn't work out the way you wanted it to.
All right, come on now.
And they get mad at you.
Yes.
And don't talk to them. Do you know that there are some medical professionals that say that they can prove that Jesus died on the cross from a broken heart? I want you to think about that now. He hung up there for, I can't remember whether it was 6 or 9 hours on that cross. And he suffered all that time and all the agony and pain he suffered. He suffered up there, and they were getting ready, it was time, there was an earthquake coming, and the eclipse was happening. And they were getting ready to go around and break his legs. They were going to break all the legs of those three people that crucified that day, so they'd go ahead and die. And they went to him to break his legs, and he wasn't moving. And so the centurion took his spear and put it in his side to see if he was dead. And when he put that spear aside, the Bible says that blood and water flowed out of his side. Some medical professionals said that water was from the sac, the peritoneal sac around his heart, that it had busted when his heart exploded. And that his heart exploded, you know why his heart had exploded at that time? Because he was suffering so incredibly bad. He was sacrificing himself, being the Son of God, being God incarnate, and he could see ahead in time, and he still saw all those people who would toss him aside at the flip of a coin. All those people who would know what he had paid to save them, and they would still refuse to come to him for salvation. They would still refuse to sell out to him, to serve him, to be his child. Hallelujah. His heart aches for you. Here's the biggest thing that bugs me. Is we come to church. I love y'all. Now, we ain't the greatest musicians and the greatest singers in the world. We all know that. But you don't worship God based on how good our talent is. You worship God based on how good God is. And there are times, I love y'all, singing and trying to lead folks into the throne room of God, and we got folks sitting back there saying, that ain't good enough. That ain't good. And sit back here with the arm folded looking at it like, that ain't nothing. You know why I ain't nothing? Because you ain't putting nothing in for it. The God of the universe who sacrificed part of himself, his own life, so that you could have eternal life. And when it comes down to the saints, when it comes down to it, when it's time to worship God, you don't need to sit there and say, well, go ahead, Pastor, do something good that's going to make me want to worship God. That ain't the way it works. You're supposed to worship God for one reason. He's God. You ain't supposed to be waiting on me to poke and prod and cheerlead you there. You're supposed to be there already when you walk in the door. Hallelujah. Sitting there waiting for it in. And some folks will just sit there and go, well, another service is done happening for me. I've had folks leave this church and say, well, we just weren't getting fed. You didn't go through the trough. You didn't go to where the food was being poured out.
That's right.
You ain't on me to feed you. I ain't the one carrying the food. I'm the one preaching the word. The food is poured out by the Holy Spirit. And you don't get it if you don't get under the spout where the glory comes out. You got to get there yourself. You don't come to church and say, preach me happy. You come to church and say, preacher, I don't care what you're doing. I'm going to worship the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand? As when you do it, I can only imagine that moment. It's time to give God glory, saints. It's time to enter into His throne room. It's time to enter into His presence. It's time to get with the Lord and worship Him and give Him praise and give Him thanksgiving and give Him honor and adoration, whether anybody else in here does it or not. It's time to get into His presence. If you're having trouble, if you're having a hard time, if you're being defeated every way you turn, then get your foot moving. Pick one foot up in front of the other. Move towards an altar of prayer. Move towards an altar of worship and praise and start praising the Lord. You can't sit there and praise God and not have Him bless you out of a situation. If you want to praise God, He says, His word says He will inhabit the praises of His people. When you offer up that praise to God, He will come down and get all in your praise. And when the Spirit of the Lord is there, there is liberty. When the Spirit of the Lord surrounds you, there's no way you can experience all that trial and turmoil. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to do one more thing. Hallelujah. We can still worship while we're doing this too. Hallelujah. I want to see you with your right hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to repeat this sinner's prayer with me. Hallelujah. Come on, Savannah. Come up here and help me.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
I know you died on the cross for my sins. You were raised again on the third day.
Come in my heart.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m., or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church Hope for the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.